When you start off at high school looking at the topic of genetics, it's a naturally very interesting thing to look at because you're half obsessed with yourself and how other people look, and you ask the question why, and genetics provides a certain degree of certain answer why. And so that's a natural interest, but when you get into listening to it, there's all these terms floating around, like Punnett squares, genetics, genotypes, phenotypes, alleles, all these words coming around, and you can scribble on little bits of paper and post-it notes and post it up as just to rote learn the actual origin of each of these ideas. And it's sort of like declarative knowledge. I declare that Monday shall be the name of the first day of the week, and I declare a week shall be this. Or nominative or associative knowledge. This is a sort of social knowledge which comes down, but indeed there's actually real science which structures and builds it all together. And it's very easy to get overwhelmed by writing it all out and studying the little pieces in and out. And I'm going to approach this as one journey. So don't try and learn it from this podcast, but come along for the ride. This is Peter Hill Explains as I discuss things scientific. In this case, I'm going to go from the very large scale, why you've got blue eyes or what having blue eyes or brown eyes is, right down to the fundamental particles of quarks and leptons. That's a strange journey. You could say, oh, this is unnecessary, but it gets you back into the idea of the knowledge is sort of Russian dolls. That's where you've got a big Russian doll and you take, I think it's babushka dolls, you actually take off one doll and inside it's another doll, which is another order closer in. And this is where the knowledge is, terms are so important because the terms relate to different layers of Russian dolls. And there's this idea of, oh, surely we can keep on, if you keep on packing it, we'll go right down. Once you pick up that allele and genotype and phenotypes are associated with different levels of Russian dolls of the knowledge, so why not go all the way down? And this is an experimental journey. It may not work for you. You may not remember all the Russian dolls, but let's go right down to the base Russian doll. It's the great thing about if you go start from small, go up, you can forget about the previous Russian dolls. If you go from the largest Russian doll down, the information is a bit overwhelming. If you fade out, you've lost it. So this is why I'm going to start at the bottom in this Peter Hill Explains, and I hope this is an interesting approach. So let's start off with the most basic particles in the universe, and they are leptons, which are electrons. There's lots of different types of electrons, but the ground state electron is a great ground state lepton is an electron. That is, you can actually excite and massage an electron up such that it is a tau or a muon a tau electron as it grows up. The different types of electrons, super heavy electrons, but the electrons that we have are ground state electrons. Pretty amazing thing to think that an electron has no particle in the center of it. Often people think there's an electron car, then there's a particle in the center. It's just it glides into and out of existence as a wave function. There's a lepton. There's also quarks. These are up and down quarks in ordinary matter, and they come together. And they're attracted to each other by quantum chromodynamics. Not the strong nuclear force, but another type of force which attracts them together. And they're quite light particles, and they actually chase each other around. I can remember a story when I was young in the pancake parlor. I can't quite remember. It has a tiger running around in circles and turning into butter. I can't quite remember, but there's something similar to that. In a certain sense, the quarks race around each other so fast that the energy of racing around each other creates a lot of the mass. So a lot of the mass, what you pick up, you're picking up not the actual fundamental mass of the quark, but you're actually picking up the mass of quarks running around each other. It's this equals mc squared. And then these quarks form either protons or neutrons. I'm not going to mentally overload you. They're just Russian dolls, so it's more quickly we can open up a Russian doll to get inside. So I've really opened up two Russian dolls at the moment. One is a fundamental Russian doll of the lepton or electrons. The electrons are the fundamental thing. I'm going to add some more, more beautiful particles. And then we've just got a proton and a neutron. And Russian doll-like, a proton and a neutron contains quarks. And that's the, sort of the standing point of the next Russian doll, of an electron and the neutrons and protons come together, form an atom. And so these mix together. Now, the classic picture that you have is the electrons orbiting a small nucleus and a lot of empty space, similar to Earth orbiting the Sun and a lot of empty space there. Now, both of these concepts are wrong. The Earth is orbiting within the Sun's solar wind atmosphere, but also the nucleus, the protons and neutrons are sitting inside as large electrons. It's hard to get your mind around. Just sign it off to quantum mechanics, we'll come back to it. But we're going, the aim of this is Russian dolls, try and build things up. We're up to atoms. So we can now forget about the earlier things of electrons and protons and neutrons, or atoms. Now, atoms can form in an ordered group together to form molecules. These are groups of atoms together which the electrons can change shape and form a sort of gluey bond, actually encapsulating the two nuclei. They don't sit between, they actually encapsulate them. So we've got molecules, next Russian doll up. The next Russian doll up after that is specific types of groups of atoms, and these are called the base atoms of DNA. Base atoms contains within it, so we go back a Russian doll at, or just trying to explain it. The fundamental, you've got nucleic acid, and the fundamental nucleic acids, this is ATCG. I'm not going to embarrass myself for trying to pronounce those things. If you've listened to me, you know that pronunciation is not my strong suit. But Russian dolls, just put off to your memory the things I've told you before, and we're focusing on how molecules make in the fundamental units of DNA. The fundamental unit of DNA consists of a nucleic acid base. A nucleic acid of either AT or CG. But that nucleic acid doesn't float around your body as it's can probably get a bottle of that particular acid, and it would be quite acidic. You have a building block, like a Lego block, where you've got the nucleic base, the ATCG, a sugar which it's hooked to, and a phosphate which is like a joining link. And so these base components is of a phosphate, sugar, and the base component. So the base has got sort of a lock and key connection. And so these phosphate, sugar, nucleic acid come as the fundamental bases of the DNA. And so these things float about, and they appear in pairs together. And what happens is that you get one strand of DNA, which is of a phosphate sugar, and a nucleic acid sitting off each sugar, and you get a string. And what happens is that enzymes, which are basically molecular protein machines, actually pick up these bases and click them onto the other alternate strand, the lead and lag strand, the second strand, by clicking a phosphate into a sugar, But the way that it does it is by working out how it will fit together uniquely with the lag strand. So the lead strand, there's two strands in DNA, has a sort of a mirror image, a negative image, if you would like. So you've got the original and the negative, and they naturally stick together, become really sticky if you get the exact negative. And this this strand of DNA with its backbone of sugar phosphate, sticks together with negative. It's conjugate, so to speak. Conjugate in this case means opposite. It meant slightly different back in the time of Newton and the early Latin associated with it, but the conjugate means the opposite side. It's a set. So your DNA is in a set with the positive image and the negative image, which sits on top of it. But we're doing Russian dolls at the moment, and so we've Russian dolled our way up. And I'm not going to confuse your cognitive load by mentioning too far back into the Russian doll aspect. We've got the base, which is a phosphate sugar nucleic acid of a particular type, and they've stranded together to form. Now we can go up a strand, and of course this is not to teach it, this is just to order it in your head, because we're going to start giving our first information. There's little groups of three bases in a row, and that forms a codon, but we'll move on from there. There's a strand of a length of DNA which encodes a particular protein, and a length of DNA which encodes for a particular protein, or I suppose even for a particular either for a particular protein or for a particular piece of RNA. So DNA actually produces, is a blueprint for RNA. That's correct. So the RNA can go off and actually form a little micro machine. Indeed, how does it do that? Well, it forms the fundamental micro machines of the rRNA, the ribosomic RNA. This is the actual machine which converts the messenger RNA into a uses that code with the transport RNA. It uses those three types of RNA come together to form a protein. So that those three, so the DNA produces basically three different types of functional RNA, which is the messenger, the trans, the transport RNA, and the rRNA, which is the actual machinery that the messenger and transport come together, and it outputs proteins. So that's a set of Russian dolls going up. You've got the next Russian doll is a gene, and we artificially class a gene by not just a specific by a specific protein it produces. Now, a combination of genes will produce a combination of proteins which work together. And that combination of genes is called an allele. So a little combination of genes is called an allele. So we've moved up from a DNA through a gene, and then got a combination of genes of a particular type. They produce a particular combination, a strength and combination, and type of protein. And so the protein goes off, and we're going back into Russian doll mode and sticking with the DNA. So a gene is beneath an allele. An allele is a combination of genes that is with a DNA. And let's move up again into the cell. The cell contains, at least in humans, two groups of identical, more or less functionally identical DNA, one from your mum and one from your dad. So every cell inside you contains the DNA which is from your dad and from your mum. And they, if they argue at home, they're arguing inside with you, saying which, it's a big wrestling match to see which is the strongest. And so your alleles come together, and you have a set of competing instructions. So What shall we do this evening? Let's go out and see the ballet. Someone else and the other dad and your dad says, oh, well, let's stay at home, eat popcorn and watch the NBL or something like that. What was the competition instructions? Which one will win? If you have a situation, so you've got the allele, which is the particular expression of a particular gene, but when you have two alleles coming together, the actual winning combination, what's finally expressed between as a combination of those two alleles, is called a genotype. So Russian dolls coming up. So we've gone from genes, a whole heap of different genes go into an allele, and when the two alleles come together, they form a genotype. Now, the genotypes are generally pretty much for, to simplify, it's one or the other. This is from the mum, it can be seeing baseball at home, and from the dad, it can be seeing the ballet. Now, there's several combinations. It's random what you can get from your mum and your dad. Well, let's say it's that. And so you can wind up with three different types of genotypes. So the allele can be either dominant or recessive. So in this case, we're going to call all, because everyone loves ballet and everyone hates watching baseball. In fact, I find it just incredibly amazing to watch baseball. But say everyone loves ballet, and so if the ballet option comes up for the cell, it says, we'll all do ballet. So the genotype, the several types of genotype that you can have, given that you can have ballet or baseball, is three types of genotype. So you can have ballet and ballet, for if your mum and dad both happen to do it, or you can have ballet and baseball. And in that case, ballet is going to win because everyone loves ballet. That's the third type of the heterozygous. Heterozygous one is where the two, mum and dad, don't agree. Or they could both agree on a it's one thing I've got a weakness, guys. It's something I'm going to improve on. Unfortunately, I do these podcasts off the top of my head, so I don't pre-think through what I can't pronounce. So there's hetero and homo, and there's two versions of the homo Z version, and that's where they are both ballet and or they're both baseball. And so we've come up from genes to alleles, from a combination of alleles into the next upper Russian doll layer, which is the genotype, which is the combination of alleles. Now, the way that we describe it, we're having a little side lecture here because we're in this process of building up Russian dolls of knowledge. The way that we process it here is by actually putting it in something called a Punnett square, where you put a mum on the left and dad on the top, and you see the possibilities for it. So mum may be big B for ballet, two big B's, and dad could be a big B and a small B, the small B for baseball. And in this case, every gene in there will be baseball, because you'll either both go for baseball. Mum's always going to tell you a baseball, so you'll always, ballet. Mum was always going to put in a ballet, so the base, you as an option as a cell is never going to see the baseball. However, you could have mum and dad equal 50% possibility of having a baseball and a ballet, and so you'll have 75% seeing ballet and just one option of coming up, flipping up two tails, so to speak, two baseballs. Now, we'll step back a bit more. Why is it that mum has got a probability of one or the other. Well, what actually happens is that it's a random one or the other comes from your mother's mum and dad. So your grandparents' mum and dad are cut up randomly and put into your mum. And then your mum gives your grandmother and grandfather preference. So it gets rather complicated. And so what you're turning out is actually a randomized version of four people. It's pretty amazing. It's not just your mum and dad, it's your grandma, grandpa, on the maternal and paternal side. This is just to get into it. And this is just to say how complex and interesting it is. And I think this is a real interest to people, young people trying to work out, well, you know, why do I look like that? Why does he or she look like that? What does it really matter? Am I responsible? You know, all these questions that's come out tell you an answer, which is so complex and confusing. But let's get back to the Russian eggs. So you can see that I've got the Russian eggs at, say, one part of the table, and every once in a while we go out, but let's go back to these Russian eggs. So we've got two alleles, and the way the alleles pan out, you get genotypes. So a genotype is a result of the genes that are produced from the combination in a particular organism. So it's the two alleles, and which allele will be the dominant allele. And at this stage, although we could tell what's there, we can actually do the definition of genotypes done by actually scrutinizing which is the dominant one, putting it under a microscope, and actually reading off the DNA. A genotype refers specifically to the alleles. You can't observe it. You can calculate and infer it and measure it, but you can't observe it. Observing the genotype, observe whether we turn up at the ballet or the baseball, or another example is whether we turn up blue eyes or brown eyes. In this case, the ballet is the brown eyes, and the blue eyes is the baseball, the less likely. So if two brown-eyed people mate, they will definitely produce someone with brown eyes. If two blue eyes people mates, because I fell straight into my own trap. If two blue-eyed people's mate, and blue-eyed is a less expressed thing. So I don't know whether I've said that the observable trait, the observable result, is called a phenotype. So all looking at people, the only thing you can see about a person is their phenotype. And so, what may happen is that you may have blue eyes. Let's put it into a situation. So we've got our Russian dolls, and we've put those Russian dolls aside, and now we're going to have a bit of fun. The Russian dolls are a pretty amazing way of thinking of things. It takes a high-level knowledge and unpacks it, and unpacking it by putting it at a certain level within Russian dolls, you know where things go, so you don't mix up electrons and alleles. Or you don't mix up alleles and phenotypes. You know the allele has to go through the genotype first. Or you don't mix up genes and phenotype, because the gene is just one little bit which goes into making an allele, which is one little bit which goes to make a genotype. So you really need the Russian doll guideline to get there. And it's Russian doll you can't really get by declarative knowledge of keeping things on post-it notes. It's one of these things you have to really think about. But let's get back to it. Rather than actually give you a detailed story with all the combinations, I'm going to say these two people love each other and they fall in love. And they decide, or they have naturally, by and by, have babies. And a blue-eyed handsome prince meets a blue-eyed lady. I'm trying to get this genetically correct, or not politically correct. I suppose you can say princess, or you'd say lady prince now, or no, you can't say, or both. Well, it's hard to say. It's sort of a very fluid concept, so to speak. But two blue-eyed people have children, and what happens is that they have more children, And these blue-eyed people have purely blue eyes. And they've got the small b, small b, small b, small b. And so when they add their alleles together in their genotypes, they can only produce blue-eyed babies. And that's great. Then two brown-eyed people go, well, that's clear. If you've got blue eyes, you're going to produce a blue-eyed baby. And then brown prince and Miss Prince or Princess come together, and they produce four babies. Four babies are part of what's going on. And what will happen is that first baby, brown eyes, yes. Second baby, brown eyes. Third baby, brown eyes. But by chance, the fourth baby may have blue eyes. That's because if they've both got brown eyes from the heterozygous, mixed up alleles in their genotypes, if their genotypes are mixed, they can come up with a mixture with the two recessive genes. And this is the sort of story to note. And of course, unfortunately, I tell you, real life is a little bit more complicated than the first thing that we teach at school. But the important thing is not so much the structure and working out through how Punnett squares work and things, and being able to write essays on it and be able to interpret multiple choice successfully before you actually get to think properly. You need this other structure here to actually put information in order. So phenotypes way up the top, genotypes are a little bit lower down still is alleles, lower down still is genes which go into there, and lower down still is the DNA base pairs, proteins, atoms, electrons and protons, and inside the protons, quarks, or that Russian doll. I hope this has been entertaining, and hopefully it's not been too confusing. Hopefully you studied it all before, and this is just putting it together in a way which is easy and nice to remember. This is Peter Hill Explains. Keep on think teaching science.